Coming to you live from a fogged out apartment somewhere in the United States, it's the TH Cinema Podcast. Cinema Podcast. My name is Dan, and with me, as always, is the Queens to my scream. The what's your favorite to my scary movies?
Step, step, step.
Snort.
Hello.
Silent John.
Hello, screamers.
And Frank couldn't be here today.
Sue, so we just finished smoking some marijuana.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're gonna be doing one of our favorite things because today it is fucking Scream Day.
How excited are we, people?
Well, I mean, we're traveling from Woodsboro to New York City, so I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, I'm a 10 out of 10 on the Ghostface meter right now for this fucking movie.
Same, same.
So, as everybody knows, we are big fucking scream queens, screamers, screamites, screamanites.
No, I don't like that one.
Don't like that one? Okay. screamazolians? No, that's too far.
Scream queens. Why can't we just
okay,
stick
we're just
with
gonna
this?
Stick with scream queens. Okay, we're a bunch of fucking scream queens here on this show. And we are so fucking stoked for what we're going to be going to see. Because not only are we going to go see Scream, the new Scream, the Scream 6, which is the new Scream that's also Scream 2 of Scream 2022, but that's a whole other fucking thing. We're going to see it in 3D.
Yeah, how the fuck did you guys talk me into this?
I'm so excited. We are going to get stabbed by Ghostface tonight.
We are going to get stabbed in the fucking face. Although, when I agreed to this, I don't know why I didn't like correlate the New York City and the 3D together, because I'm starting to envision a bunch of rooftop scenes and now I'm starting to get even more scared.
Yeah, I thought about that yesterday whenever we were doing some research and was seeing like some of the trailers from this one. I did kind of forget. I was like, oh, this is the parts we're going to be seeing in 3D. It's going to be kind of intense. Fuck.
Are you guys telling me that Ghostface is going to stab us off of some fucking New York City ledges? We're going to be falling down?
Oh, there's going to be full Batman fucking shit going on. People jumping off of roofs and shit. It's going to be fucking madness.
Damn. Yes, and a really big thing from the trailer, Ghostface has a gun now. A gun in 3D.
I see. I'm on the fence about Ghostface with a gun. Like, it's cool. I know we're shaking it up. Obviously, new environment. Now new weapons. But it just doesn't look well to me. Give me the old-fashioned stabberoo.
But I think at this point, like it's like we discussed in the first Scream episode that we did. The cult of Ghostface is happening right now, and they're becoming more of a terroristic organization than serial killers.
So they've kind of just leveled up. I mean, there's still some stabbers, but some of them are going to have some guns, maybe a chainsaw or two.
Yeah, well, I'm sure when it comes to like the martyrs, which are the Haddonfield folk. Haddonfield, right?
That's
Mike Myers, baby.
I'm sure when it comes to the martyrs, the Woodsboro folk.
There you go.
There it is. The Woodsboro folk. You have to like go with the old art of the stabberoo.
Okay.
You know, you can't bust out the fucking shoddy for that.
That makes sense.
People in New York aren't surprised by a knife. Gun though, I mean, you may get some looks.
See, that makes even more sense. That's why Ghostface had to up his game.
Yeah.
He brought a knife to a knife fight.
So, to be more of a threat, you know what? A shotgun will do.
Yeah, you gotta bust out the fucking sawed off.
Well, that's the thing, is he's in like a convenience store just pulling this thing out. Ghostface, I think, is gonna give zero fucks in this movie.
I don't know, I think that scene might be like a MacGuffin.
Oh,
like, it's just some fucking, like, thug, like, in a Ghostface costume, and then the actual Ghostface gets that thug for, like, besmirching his good Ghostface name.
Is that our first prediction of the movie right there?
Yeah, that stands first official prediction of the Scream
movie.
Okay. I like it.
I can see it. Yeah.
But this movie is the continuation of the 2022 one that came out that we did a thingy on. And we do have some of the original cast returning. We've got the two sisters, one of them played by the Jenna Ortega.
Jenna Ortega.
Jenna Ortega.
Who has blown up since the last group, just in the past year, just with Wednesday. She's like one of the biggest people, like right now. She's hosting SNL tonight, guys.
Yeah, like she's made it so fast. She has just risen to the top. And I mean, she was great in Snort. It's something that we talked about before we hopped on the mic here. I mean, the last movie, she was like injured the whole time. So you didn't really get to see the chops, you know?
Yeah. Now I guess you're running around New York.
Yeah, she definitely shot up the fucking chain of command at Hot Topic real fucking quick. No, I'm excited to see some of the returning cast come back. Like, we got Courtney Cox coming back. Also, I'm pretty sure she's going to get fucking Arquette'd real fucking quick in this movie for some reason.
She has to. I don't see a world where she needs to be around still at this point. You know, I was sad to lose Arquette, but I think her time is up. I won't be nearly as sad for her to go.
I don't know. I could see it going, like, either way. I can see her dying because, like, there is no Gil without Dewey, you know? But or do you keep her because she's going to be, like, one of the... Because Neve Campbell's not in this one. She's, like, the anchor for the previous ones, you know?
Yeah, you got to have some anchor to the original ones if you're going to kind of keep consistency. I'm sure they're going to bring it up in the meta conversation they have about the fact that this movie is a requel of its own reboot, requel, sequel, when they talk about it in the movie. They're going to be like, oh, you need to have at least one original cast member come back.
Which, and I get it from a Hollywood perspective, but at the same time, and we all just took a couple minutes to rave about Jenna Ortega, this is your chance to push new people and kind of not scrub the old screamers, but, like, let the new peeps shine for once on their own. I think they could do it.
We also do have another, like, middle ground character coming back. Hayden Panettiere is coming back.
Oh, yeah. Hayden Panettiere from Scream 4 is coming back on this one. I remembered she was in that movie, but I didn't remember that she survived. So I'm assuming she survived Scream 4, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so...
Or, sorry, if I don't remember at all.
Yeah, Scream 4 is the forgotten child.
Yeah, so we had to look it up last night of, like, how... Oh, because we thought she died, too. We were like, how is she in this movie? And I guess she gets stabbed, and it's like... And it looks like she dies, but you never see her die on screen. And then, apparently, there was an Easter egg in the last Scream movie on a laptop. They're watching YouTube, and there's, like... On the suggested videos on the side, it's like her talking.
Oh, her talking about her experience or whatever, like a
true
crime.
So we missed this Easter crime documentary. Egg. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Clever sons of bitches.
Okay. Yeah. The only thing I really remember from that Scream movie was like the opening sequence of all the like fake out Scream deaths.
See, I don't even remember that, and that sounds kind of cool.
It was like the end of 21 Jump Street, how they were doing all the fake out trailers, but it was at the beginning with a bunch of different stab movies.
It's kind of coming back.
Yeah, I feel like I kind of remember that part. And I remember the people from it, but I didn't really remember what happened. Emma Roberts, her.
Oh, yeah.
She was Ghostface. Wasn't she? Oh,
she was the Ghostface.
And she died.
Do you guys have any suspects in this one on who might be Ghostface? Do you have any guesses?
Yeah, like, do you think it's, like, one of the characters? Do you think it's, like, a rando? Like, do you think it's someone? Because, think... Another callback person from the last one, Billy Loomis, and Hayden Panettiere is alive. I mean, could anybody be alive and be Ghostface now?
Okay.
Billy, is it Matthew Lillard?
Billy Loomis came back last time, and I learned that ghosts are real in this universe. So for the love of God, give me a Matthew Lillard ghost.
Oh, yeah. If I don't see a Matthew Lillard ghost in this, I'm going to fucking lose my shit.
I think Matthew Lillard would lose his shit.
And if he's not the sweetest, good, like, most Casper of ghosts... I'm going to riot. I'm going to throw popcorn at the screen.
I feel like we're going to get our hopes up too high. They're going to let us down on this one.
No, I think the killer is going to end up being like probably Hayden Panettiere.
Get him tight.
I just have a feeling that she's coming back and she's like all like traumatized and stuff. Or she's trying to, like, create a story or something, you know? She's the new Gale Weathers, but she's, like, evil Gale.
Oh. Stab. Or maybe it's, like, a director of one of the Stab movies.
Well, that's a good poll.
Yeah, they did lean into the movie making side of it very heavily in the last one. Like the whole motive was we want to make better movies.
Yeah.
And they did. Wow.
Wow.
Self-fulfilled prophecy. Now, I do have a little bit like of questionnaires going on with the setting of this film. I love that it's in New York, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they left the Woodsboro, right? And that little small community, because they're scared of the ghost face, right?
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. you got to run away from it. The ghost face is going to follow them down. That's what ghost faces do sometimes. And they go to the place that's just full of fucking crazy people.
Yeah, it's a bold strategy, isn't it?
Yeah, you didn't go to a very safe place, like...
Yeah, well, like, look what Neve Campbell did. She went to a fucking cabin in the woods with a great security system. Like, she was like, I'm locking this shit the fuck down from Ghostface. They're going to a place where it's like every alley, every fucking person on the subway, every so-and-so could be a Ghostface. Everybody's a suspect.
It's Ghostface roulette in New York City.
But also think, Sydney, like in Scream 2 and 3, she made some mistakes just going to college and just dating this other guy when you just had your last boyfriend trying to kill you. And then she goes to, what, L.A.? Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, I guess it could just be all that youthful hubris that the youngins have.
They're probably just fucking posted online about, look how much we love NYC, the Big Apple. Ghostface is just scrolling like, oh, you fucking bitches, I'm coming.
Accidentally double tapping like, oh, crap. I know I'm coming.
Beetlejuice?
What?
No, I thought it was a good Ghostface.
Yeah, I thought that was an okay Ghostface. Yeah.
It was the best one. I'll give you that.
Yeah. And the poor NYPD here. So I'm assuming that, like, when you've got Ghostface martyr victims in this cult of Ghostface that's happening or whatnot, living in your city, you need to provide some type of protection to it. Like, it's like when the president comes into town, you got to shut down the roads, you got to provide escorts, you got to, you know, make the infrastructure work for the VIP that's in town.
I don't think they're considered VIPs in New York City.
Yeah, but them existing in New York City, like the rise of Ghostface possible tax is substantially higher because they're there. You need to have some kind of like protection circuit.
But think the police in New York City just know of this guy, this person that goes on stabbing sprees all the time. That's all the time in New York. There's like, that's Wednesday.
Clever girl.
Anybody's a ghost face. Oh, yeah, exactly. We get 5 ghost face a week out here. Oh, you got stabbed? Yeah, you, me, and my fucking brother over there.
I don't know. What if the whole police force is ghost face? What if they're in on it, you know? They could be some corrupt cops.
I don't know. I could definitely see the police force kind of like writing off what, you know, the complaint. When they come to him like, oh, gosh, this guy's trying to kill us. I can definitely see... In this movie, there's another prediction for you. The police are going to be like, oh, no, don't worry about it. We deal with this all the time. No, this is not a big deal.
And then fast forward, that cop getting killed. Boom, Ghostface.
Yep.
I think it was Jenna Ortega like talked about it in an interview where she said that in Woodsboro, like you scream and stuff and people are like, what the fuck's going on? You know, but you scream in New York City. Nobody wants to get involved, you know? Ooh. Like, that's going to be the vibe for the whole movie.
Yeah, I did a couple of years in New York City. You definitely get desensitized to that. Like, when you're on the subway and weird shit is going on, you just kind of fucking look straight and just kind of roll your eyes at somebody else across the way and just look back down at your phone. You just ignore to a high degree.
Do not engage.
Yep, at all costs.
You're not going to draw the attention to yourself. Hell no. I'm just trying to get home, guys. That's all.
Somebody's getting stabbed at the back of the car. You just kind of turn your body towards the front and just, fuck.
Let me just turn my music up a little bit louder.
No, you turn the music down, but you keep the earbuds in and you keep bobbing, like pretending that it's in. So you, because you want to know what's going on.
Yeah, you want to be aware.
Be somewhat aware sometimes.
Another thing that I've heard them talk about with like this movie and stuff is that it is supposed to be a lot more gruesome and stuff. And I think the setting of New York City adds to that. But think the last one, he Ghostface was like creepier than he's ever been.
Yeah, I still think that the in the original Scream, the disembowelment, the first disembowelment scene of Drew Barrymore's boyfriend still sticks with me to this day as like one of the most gruesome fucking scenes of all time. So I'm very excited to see Scream like reach that level again.
Well, and it's one of the videos we watched yesterday to kind of get caught up in the old Screamverse. I think it's the same directors and the same writers, and I think they probably want to. They're probably shooting for the trilogy, and so you got to level up in the second one. What does Jamie Kennedy say happens in the sequel? You got to get bloodier. You got to get more violent.
They're following the rules.
I want a Jamie Kennedy ghost too, a little bit.
Hey, you never know.
I think his family members, I don't remember how they're related to him, but they're in this.
Yeah, yeah.
His
nephew, the twins. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. They're returning guests from the 2022 one as well.
Yeah. What do you guys think of the new Ghostface mask in the trailer? How it's kind of like dirty and like New York City looking.
I mean, it's still Ghostface, but I kind of like the rugged look. He's been through some shit. You know?
Yeah, and it just makes it look creepier.
I definitely do foresee him putting like a clean ghost face mask on, like a throwback to the original.
Yeah.
Like maybe that's just the one that he's been using while he's been hunting this down through the sewers of New York.
Well, and there's like a shot in the trailer where there's like a couple ghost face like uniforms in like glass cases. Like I don't know if this is like a ghost face lair,
a ghost face shrine
museum. There's some fresh Ghostface outfits in New York City.
What if they do like a whole like fucking like supernatural fucking crazy twist where Ghostface is like a demon that inhabits people through the centuries, and in the underground vault under New York City lies the sanctum of the Ghostface.
Wow.
He's a dark entity that embodies people.
I mean, we already have actual ghosts in it, so, I mean, it could happen.
I'm fully on board for that twist for the trilogy. Like, midway through the sixth Scream movie, which is the second movie in this trilogy, they just go, you know what, fuck it, we're changing the lore completely. This thing's a goddamn demon.
Demons.
The whole time that you described that environment, Dan, I just pictured Ghostface in the sewers of New York City as like a fucking rat king. Just rats running up and down, and he just deploys them.
I'm thinking like a venom monster. That's what it looks like in my brain.
He's just kind of like Danny DeVito in his little rubber ducky mobile. It's just a little Ghostface canoe.
All right, folks, well, are we ready to head to New York City and go see this fucking Scream movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me grab my vest, just in case. Yeah, I got my knife and my mask. Step, step, wait, no. Step, step, step.
I didn't get my vest in time.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And now, our feature presentation.
Snort and John bought the tickets, I bought the snacks, and we're back, and we just watched Scream 6.
Ah!
Yeah. I was waiting.
That's bound to happen.
I had to get it out, guys.
Yeah. So, Scream 6. First impressions. I'm going to go to the number one Scream Queen, Miss Snort over here.
Loved it. Excited to see where the fuck we're going.
Yeah, I'm letting it simmer. I don't want to say that I loved it, but I liked it a lot. I do have a few issues, but there's a lot of things I did love, actually, and I can't wait to get into them.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was a good slasher movie. It was a complete rehash of the second Scream movie, which is kind of what it was supposed to be. You know, it's the same thing. They get thrown into college. The whole fucking plot structure is the same, but we'll get into that as we get through the episode. Overall, though, yeah, very solid movie. It was brutal as fuck. It was very violent. It was very fun to watch. The opening scene kind of got me, though, I will say. So we open up, and Samara Weaving's being the Drew Barrymore character in this one. She's waiting at the fucking bar, and she's getting messages from her Tinder date. And I liked that they were, like, doing that, because I had a problem with the last one with all the house phones and stuff, because what the fuck? So I like that they kind of, like, ooh, we found a new way to do the phone call scene.
They just modernized it a little bit more for you.
Yeah, and I liked her being the film professor, and she's talking about all the things that she shouldn't be doing. She's going into the alley And then she gets stabbed. And then when the ghost face that stabs her, which was, it was a fucking brutal stabbing. Like, it was very visceral.
Yeah, as yeah. were most of these damn stabbings.
Yeah, not as bad as the disemboweling in the first original Scream movie mm-hmm. as, like, the shock value, but still just, like, very, ooh. But when he pulls off the mask, and for the first time in a Scream movie, it's like, we know who the ghost face is in the first scene, and it's Tony Ravioli.
Hey, that's the kid from Spider-Man.
I was so... Like, at first I was mad, and then I was worried, because I was like, I hope they are not, like, changing how this movie's made. Because that's, like, most of the fun of watching these movies is just trying to figure out who the killer is, like, along with the characters. I was like, I don't want this.
Yeah, I completely thought they were just going to take that whodunit fucking format and just flip it on its head and be like, okay, well, we're just going to go from this point of view towards, you know, we're going to follow Ghostface around and how see how the survivors are ruining his life or something. I don't know.
That would be an interesting take.
But as a standalone movie, not part of this franchise.
This franchise.
Don't roll your eyes when you say that. I'm surprised that got the two of you. You guys have been a part of every movie in this franchise. It's Scream. No, that's not Ghostface. Come on.
Well, he's a ghost face because he goes back to his ghost face apartment and he calls his ghost face roommate because everybody in this fucking movie is a ghost face.
Hey, the cult. It's becoming a thing.
Everybody's a ghost face. And Tony Ravioli goes back to his apartment. I guess him and his roommate were plotting to be the new ghost faces because they're fucking film kids and they want to do new stab movies or some shit.
They're just really big fans of the first one. You know, Stu and Billy, they hold a special place in their heart.
Yeah, well, there's also a special place in the fridge because that's where Tony Ravioli finds his fucking roommate.
That was pretty intense.
Yeah, that was a good thing. Full, like, shock horror fucking scene.
Yeah.
This is where I got duped because I was like, holy shit, Ghostface is going to come out of the fridge. That's kind of dumb but kind of cool. But no, disemboweled body.
Yeah, and the actual Ghostface does come and kill Tony Ravioli for besmirching his good name because there's only going to be one Ghostface in town, and that's this Ghostface. Maybe. Spoilers.
Or is there?
So, but much like the second Scream movie, this movie kind of takes place where the main characters from the first one have gone off to college, and they're kind of doing their own thing. And Wednesday Addams is... kind of not like dealing with the shit that happened in fucking Woodsboro. Fucking right. She's not like handling it. So her sister Samantha has moved to New York also to like keep an eye on her and shit.
And she's a little overbearing and very quick to judgment.
Yeah, she's a little protective of her little sister that was just almost murdered 2 years ago.
Whoa, okay, hold on. When Frankie Mermaid is trying to take her sister upstairs, you gotta intervene.
She pulled that taser out so fast, and she even pulled it out, and she walked in with it.
She fucking warned him, I'm gonna tase you in the fucking balls. Right fucking there. Okay, and there's this weird fucking Reddit thread going around that's saying that Samantha, the older sister, is the fucking ghost face that's been the actual killer, and that... Jackie Quaid from the first one was a patsy the whole time. So she's being like accosted and she's feeling the pressures of social media and the pressures of society coming at her.
I mean, props to the writers on that one because Reddit likes to intervene a lot in things in the world and get it wrong 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Hollywood as a whole, anytime they can take a shot at internet culture at being fucking dicks. Yeah.
They're swinging hard.
Yeah, swinging for the fucking fences. So they end up going back to their shared apartment where this older sister lives with college students?
Yeah, I don't know, because like then they said it was a dorm later. I don't know where the fuck they were.
Well, because like they were talking about how the Quinn girl got the roommate lottery or whatever. You know, they were talking about that kind of stuff. And like, but it kind of seemed off campus.
Well, yeah, because that one guy like lives right across from them. The old guy.
You mean the grown ass adult walking around without his shirt on with college students live across the hall?
Yeah.
That fucking guy?
Yeah, that guy.
I guess the way to explain everything is just New York. That's that's all you need to say in that.
Yeah, and again, I'm going back to what I said in the first half. You're coming off of PTSD from almost being murdered out in fucking not Haddonfield, Woodsboro. Almost being murdered out in Woodsboro. And you go to New York City. Like, from the... Why is that your... No. You go find a cabin in the woods somewhere. You go to fucking Alaska. You go somewhere where it's not going to be the single most stressful, anxiety-inducing place you could possibly fucking be.
But hey, if they did it, we wouldn't have had this fun movie.
Well, and then just props to Ghostface. I mean, New York's it's a big place, and he was able to navigate so smoothly.
Yeah, I guess if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
Yeah, you can see. There you go.
But the Ghostface is back because the killings of Tony Ravioli and his roommate in the fridge get reported. Oh, no. Samantha's fucking ID is found there. So Dermot Mulroney, who just happens to be the cop and the roommate's fucking dad at the same time, has to like call her in for questioning about the Ghostface killings because of that and because of the Reddit.
And it was in this moment that I was like, in my head watching it, I was like, okay, this is Ghostface. This guy, this is him.
God, I was hoping it wouldn't be him though. I really was hoping.
Okay, do we want to get to that right now? Okay.
He's here. Let's do it.
Okay, yeah, we're already at this part. Okay. The fucking dad's, the fucking cop, Dermot Mulroney, is the dad of fucking Jackie Quaid from the first one. And the other family members are friends in the fucking group and whatever. And they're the fucking ghost faces. All right, there we go. It's out there. Big spoiler, yeah. Big twist right there at the beginning of the episode. There you go.
Scream 6, A Family Affair.
Because I have a big problem with this. Please. This man is a fucking police officer.
You guys called it in the beginning, corrupt police.
No, but you're not understanding me. Okay, this man is a detective for the NYPD, okay?
Okay.
He's obviously living under a fucking fake name or something like that. Because if he's fucking the girl's dad, wouldn't Samantha Carpenter or whoever, the fucking Jenna Ortega, know, like, oh, that's the same fucking person as fucking Jackie Quaid. Oh, are we going to assign... Who are we going to assign to this new fucking Ghostface killer fucking case? The dad of the last Ghostface fucking killer? Like, this guy's a fucking cop. They didn't do any background checks when he transferred to the NYPD.
Okay, I think I know the debunking for this. I would assume that the Jack Quaid from the last one was using a different name. Because the other two kids, the Ghostface, they were using different names. So maybe the dad's using his real name and the rest of them are not.
Yeah, but the NYPD's got to know that, like, that's the dad of the last Ghostface. The last Ghostface's identity is widely known. It's on Reddit.
Yeah, but you know how you explain it? New York City.
There you go.
It's
New York, baby. Yeah, that's fine. Get Ghostface's dad. We just need some more detectives. Forget about it.
I am glad you brought up the name thing because I couldn't shake it the whole time. I'm like, how? Nobody put this together. Nobody.
You guys thought a lot more about this than I did. I did not think about it at all.
Well, I'm sorry, but if you're traveling to get away from Ghostface, I don't know. I'd be researching every fucking person.
I'd just be living in the woods. Like I said, New York City, bad fucking idea. Too many fucking opportunities.
You just go the Sydney route. You have to.
But to move along, the Ghostface comes to their apartment at some point after this and straight up fucking goes and murders the police chief's daughter, the roommate.
This was the moment that I doubted my predictions, but then I was like, no, it's probably just not his real kid. <It's> I didn't think that she was not murdered. I just thought, oh, okay, she's dead.
Yeah, and we do get a nice amount of fucking, like, good long fucking ghost face fights and some good long ghost face fucking murders.
Well, they're just following the rules. I mean, this is the Scream requel sequel? Is that how they describe it in this thing?
I think we're too deep into the Screams. I think we're getting way too deep into the meta of the Scream as a whole. Like, it's like a piece of paper. You can only fold a piece of paper like 11 times before it doesn't work anymore. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, I get it.
This bitch has broken like 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th walls all the way down to Scream 6 now.
So you're tired of the Scream origami?
But do you not think that that's like what helps make it like a Scream movie. Because if Scream is a horror movie, it's definitely like the pop version of a horror movie, you know? So that's why I think the meta-ness is fine.
That's a really great description, the pop version of a horror movie.
Yeah, it's definitely the Katy Perry horror movie.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that. I just think that you can't rely on that to the degree that they did in this movie. Like, it's fine to have the one character that kind of sees through the whole illusion of it all. Like, oh, yeah, we're in a zombie movie right now. But you can't have everybody in the fucking zombie outbreak going like, oh, this is just like a zombie movie. This is just like a zombie movie. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work like that.
So are you okay whenever the Mindy character does her little monologue? You're okay with that part? You just don't want it mentioned the rest of the movie?
Yeah, mentioned by other characters and by other, like, throughout the rest of the movie. It doesn't really need to be brought to the attention consistently through the film.
I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah, I guess I see both sides, because it's what I expected, considering this is the Scream franchise. And I think in the scope that these characters who kept, you know, building to the meta-ness, they're the youths, man. That's what the youths do. They like to be meta with fucking everything.
Yeah, and even to the final twist, that like this movie, same thing as in Scream 2. Fucking Billy Loomis's mom was the killer in Scream 2. And you've got the killer from Scream 2022's dad as the fucking killer in this one, essentially. You've definitely like mirrored those universes, much like how like The Force Awakens felt kind of like a Star Wars, the first Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So the next one will be the director. That's also Billy Loomis's love child with someone else.
Yeah, and we're going to get a Jane Silent Bob cameo.
Oh, that is the one they show up in.
Mm-hmm. That's the one they show up in. So, oh, that means this next one's going to be really, really meta, because it's going to be a movie about a movie inside a movie inside a movie about a movie.
Oh, you're going to hate that.
Oh, my brain's not going to be able to take it all. We did get our scene with Ghostface with a gun, and it came out a little bit differently than I thought it was going to.
Yeah, I guess I just expected him to show up with the gun. Instead, he stole the gun.
Yeah, he stole it. He busted that motherfucker out. But I enjoyed seeing that.
Yeah, that whole scene was, honestly, it was one of probably the tenser scenes in the movie. And I don't know. I mean, he just kind of blasted away with no fucks given.
Yeah, I liked it, but I'm glad he didn't have, like, a shotgun for, like, the, like, I'm glad that's not just one of his new things, you know? It was fine for the moment, but I don't need it anymore.
Yeah, I think a ghost face with a shotgun, like, if that was, like, a permanent attachment, it's the most formidable horror maniac. Like, Michael Myers with a knife, Jason, you know, all those other things, Ghostface with a shotgun, that's the one that I'm like 99.9% chance of not getting away from.
Yeah, he's invincible. It's insane to me. He took a cast iron pan to the face at one point in this movie, and legitimately, it didn't slow him down. Not even the slightest.
When he did, I expected the mask for some reason to like turn into the silly face mask from Scary Movie. Like that.
What's that? Man, that kind of felt good. We need to bring that back.
Oh, no. Come on. That's dead and buried, my friend. Put it in the ground.
Do it one time.
What's up?
Don't you feel like you let a lot out?
Oh, God, no. No. I'm disgusted with myself. No. Courtney Cox shows up in this movie at some point. Apologizes for Neve Campbell's contract issues with the filmmakers.
Yeah, very kind of her to fill us in on the hot goss.
Like, she literally shows up and she's like, "Hi, I'm Gail Withers. Neve Campbell's not coming, guys. Don't get your hopes up. She's not showing up."
I'm the nostalgic act this time around. And wow, she hasn't changed a fucking bit. Writing more books. How does nobody learn? Gail Withers is going to fuck you over.
Five fucking movies. Gail Withers has fucked over five fucking groups of survivors. Everyone's like, oh yeah, I'll just be friends with Gail Withers again.
It always starts with, fuck, Gail Withers is calling. Who is that? Nobody. Decline. 10 minutes later, hey, it's me. Fuck you, you fucking bitch. She gets slapped. She gets punched. Fast forward 30 minutes. Gail, we need your help. Like, every fucking movie.
Yeah, she really didn't have, like, that big of a role in this, like, as I expected, though.
Yeah, she really didn't have a lot to do with other than get murdered at a point in this movie, because that way she doesn't need to show up for the next one.
Oh, but no, she's not even murdered.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
she lived. Oh. You didn't hear, I don't remember who said it. They're like, oh, yeah, Gail's going to make it. And I was just like, God damn it.
So really, like, a lot of people died, but, like, nobody really died.
If there's one thing this movie taught me, I honestly think I could live getting stabbed, like, 20 times. There's a lot of stabbing, but a lot of living to counteract it.
Yeah, I think one of the most brutal ones was when the Mindy's girlfriend got the one and the, like, dragged up through the bare midriff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she managed to crawl halfway across a ladder after that.
Like, what the fuck? How?
I think that was the most terrifying death out of the entire movie was the ladder.
It was the fall and then the hit to the fall. It was the extra pop in it.
The way the head hit the corner of the dumpster on the way down.
Oh,
yeah, out of every death in this entire movie, I think that's the worst one. Is like you're holding onto a ladder for dear life while somebody else is shaking you off of it, and there's no way to get around it.
You're stuck. And it's fucking Ghostface of all people, too. God.
So we do find out that the Ghostfaces have invested in a Ghostface movie theater that they own, full of Ghostface memorabilia and props from the past.
And Hayden Panettiere is here now. Because she's with the FBI. Takes them to, they go with her.
Yeah, Hayden Panettiere is with the FBI now. She's got a badge and a gun.
Well, and I know we already kind of spoiled who Ghostface was, but man, they really wanted you to believe that she was Ghostface, that she was going to be the one, the little puppet master.
Yeah, they were laid into the little red herrings with her all over the place. What's she doing here out of jurisdiction? We haven't heard from her in 2 weeks. Yeah, they were definitely trying to point in that direction.
Okay, so they said that, but it was the Ghostface guy that said that. So was it true or not, though? I guess you don't know.
No, it wasn't. It was all a mind game by Mr. Ghostface.
Yeah. Yeah, big fat phony. And one thing, too, to lead into them trying to point the finger at her, I don't know if you guys caught this, during the meta monologue scene, kind of going over how this shit's working out. They go, everybody's a suspect. Hard cut to Hayden Panettiere. Hard cut, just chomping on food.
I didn't put that together. Good catch, though.
We also get the soft resurrection, potentially, of Matthew Lillard in this scene.
He got some FaceTime.
Well, I am holding on to that, because that is why I'm looking for... He has to show up in the next one, right? There's no way you would drop that little nugget of, oh, people, do you think he really died or not? Nobody was questioning it.
Yeah, that scene was just literally put there so that they could have Matthew Lillard show up in the next one.
Do you think they listened to our episode? Do you think they said, damn it, the TH Cinema podcast demands Matthew Lillard? And you know what? We're going to cater to that audience. I like to believe.
The people have spoken and the people are us?
Yeah.
I put it more towards John's manifestation powers, the way your brain works and makes things happen for us sometimes.
I'm putting in work, okay?
Or Kevin called up the Scream guys and told them. Ooh. Maybe Kevin's still a listener.
Kevin, if you're out there, buddy, thank you. Thank you for all that you've done.
It's been a while since we've had a Kevin call back.
So the movie theater full of Scream memorabilia, they find out, was owned by Tony Ravioli and the Fridge Man. So they still don't know who the Scream person is, who the Ghostface is.
They did have some pretty cool stuff down there, though.
Yeah, it's definitely stuff that, you know, they probably toured around to memorabilia museum.
I was gonna say, I'd buy a ticket. Hell yeah.
I liked how all the, like, Ghostface robes were, like, lined up and stuff. I just thought that was cool.
It was also here that we got to see our good friend, the ghost of Skeet Ulrich.
Yeah.
I had a feeling we were gonna get a ghost of some sort. And of course, it's fucking Skeet.
Yeah, he's back. He's back, guys. But this time, I'm not sure if he's a sentient one. I think he's just like a psychological one.
Yeah, it's kind of feeling that way.
But I do have a problem with this, because this movie kind of makes it feel like serial killing is a genetic disorder.
Like it runs in the genes?
Yeah, like if your dad's a serial killer, you're going to be a serial killer. Like if, so-and-so's son's a serial killer, so the dad and the rest of the sister and the brother, they're all going to be serial killers also.
Well, not even just like the hereditary aspect. It just seems like if anybody you know is a serial killer, it's just going to rub off on you. It's going to imprint on you.
It's contagious?
It's contagious.
Serial killing is contagious.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then after this, the movie kind of turns into the first half of a Law and Order episode where they're trying to catch some fucking drug dealer. And they're setting up a sting operation on the Ghostface in Central Park. And, oh no, Ghostface outsmarts them again and ends up going and killing Gale Weathers. Well, stabbing Gale Weathers, but not murdering her because, I don't know. They should have just killed Courtney Cox off if they were going to.
I wonder if, because obviously we're aiming for a trilogy, I wonder if they're maybe worried they can't get Neve Campbell back, you know? So then you at least have somebody, like we talked about in the first half, a star to put in. Like, but once, I don't need it. She should have just got killed, honestly.
You've got Matthew Lillard coming back. You don't need anybody else.
Well, wait, that's just a hope, okay?
No, it's happening.
I want to believe.
You need to believe for us for the manifest to work. So believe as hard as you can, John.
Like I said, had she officially died, I would be full steam ahead. I promise. But these motherfuckers just can't kill people for some reason.
Yeah, for the most part, these are pretty inept ghost faces. Like, I understand plot armor and, like, the core four not being able to die and everything, but their body count, for the most part, wasn't, like...
No, not like, that many.
They've got a very bad win-loss ratio for stabbings.
Well, and the Sam's, like, boyfriend guy, too. Like, he doesn't die during this movie? Like, that's the easy kill right there.
That dude was literally just put in this movie to be eye candy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just...
And a little bit of a suspect, but not really.
He's just hanging out without a shirt on most of the time.
And being a good dude. Like, while they were trapped inside the Ghostface Hell fucking theater, he went and got the cops. He checked on the fucking people at the hospital. He probably went and picked up somebody's fucking laundry. Like, he just seems like a nice fella.
See, but his cadence, especially when they first interact, like in like the stairwell, I was like, man, this is Billy Loomis all over again. And there's just something just not right.
Just that swarm.
Yeah. I don't know if it's the way he talked. I don't know.
So after Gale dies, they decide that they're going to set the fucking ghost face up. They're going to lure the ghost face into a fucking trap.
A trap, you say?
A trap, I say. And what better place to lure the ghost faces than the Ghostface Museum, where all their favorite things are?
I don't know. There's a lot of mannequins. There's a lot of Ghostface masks hanging around this place. How do you trust anybody? That was the one rule that Mr. Nice Guy said. Don't trust a single person. Hey, let's put Ghostface in an environment where there's so many Ghostface.
Well, that and like, let's lock ourselves in here with the Ghostface. Like, no. Terrible idea, people.
No, not the best option, especially since you're bringing all the people and you know one of these people, potentially. In your, like, friend group is one of the ghost phases. There's still some cahoots happening behind the scenes. But before they can go to the theater to go lock up the ghost phases, they have to take some public transportation to get there, and we get the subway scene that's in the trailer.
Man, this was a who's who of horror characters on the subway.
Yeah, there were a bunch of little Easter eggs throughout the entire movie. It's set over the course of a Halloween weekend. I'm guessing because it's like a 3-day Halloween.
Apparently.
Like it's like Saturday Halloween to start and then like nobody in costumes the next day, but then it's like actual Halloween on Monday.
Yeah, they celebrate weird in New York.
What was your guys' favorite like little Easter eggs out of there?
I liked the Pinhead guy.
Yeah,
Pinhead was cool. I liked the person dressed up as the Babadook. I was a fan of that.
Just standing in the background the entire time, just staring forward.
Did you see the group dressed up as the Us family?
No.
They were like in red jumpsuits.
No,
that's awesome.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I saw an Ash versus Evil Dead somewhere in there as well.
Huh.
There was the red balloon for Pennywise too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But on the subway, they're riding the subway and the lights are going up and down and up and down and they get separated on the subway. One of them gets stabbed on the subway. The Jamie Kennedy character.
But guess what? She didn't die either. But I did think she was going to die, and I was going to be so sad because I really like her.
Wait a minute. What? Now I just realized something about her. She got stabbed like two different scenes and still fucking lived.
Yeah, because she got stabbed in the arm earlier.
At the apartment, yeah. Because she was the second one across the ladder. Damn. Nobody's going.
I'm telling you, these are the most inefficient ghost faces we've ever ghost faced with.
Well, I mean, we'll get to it, but their little banter when you have the three of them, like, look at us. You guys fucking suck.
Yeah, so then they try to trap the ghost faces like Scooby-Doo in a fucking mansion at the theater. And that's where it's revealed that the Dermot Mulroney and the girl that was previously dead for a few minutes and the best friend that they suspected the whole time are all actually a family. And they're all actually related to the first ghost face from last year's Scream movie.
Now that we're like talking about it and I'm thinking a little bit more about it, I think I do have a small problem with them. I think they're probably some of the most underwhelming like ghost face killers in this franchise, and it's because they have no charisma. Like, Ghostface needs to be like have that charm still, you know, and like I don't know, they just did not have it.
They were not exuding Matthew Lillard energy.
No. I'm dying over here.
I'm so happy you said that because, yeah, this is the falling off point for me. There was definitely, you know, the whole climax of this and that revealed. There's a lot of fun banter. There's a lot of fun things that happen. Some of what I thought were the most brutal kills happened in this moment. But, yeah, fuck, this trio of Ghostface killers just sucked the life out of everything. I'm sorry, but, like, Dermot Mulroney? Is that how you say his name? What is this? This is the flattest fucking Ghostface I've ever seen. Like, haha. We got you. You killed my son. He was my first son. Now you must die. Like, I just don't believe it. I don't buy into this, man. And your crazy kids, like, they just seem like they're idiots.
I don't know. They just, it seemed unbelievable as a whole. Like, is this a fucking theater troupe of a family? Like, there was fake blood makeup effects. You've got people, is the fucking son like a hacker? Like, is this the fucking heist movie? Yeah, it's just the most unbelievable series of fucking ghost faces that could have ghost faced.
Yeah, I won't say that it ruined the movie for me because I really did enjoy it. But honestly, had they gone any other way with their ghost face reveal, this probably would be a fucking amazing movie to me.
But the fact that I cared so little about them made when fucking Sam put them down so much fucking better.
Yeah.
Because, okay, think back. If fucking Sydney had fucking just shot fucking like Skeet Ulrich and fucking, you know, Matthew Lillard dead, like pow. And they're gone in the first Scream movie, just gone. No, I'm dying over here. No final jump scare type thing.
Yeah.
But when she fucking laid out the sister, it was just pop gone. Undeserving character. Unnecessary.
Yeah. But that's the most fitting death for a person like that. I was just like, good. I'm glad we kept it simple. Get her the fuck out of here.
I guess we did have it with the brother, but it was like still like not cool. When she pushes a TV onto him. Because Hayden Panettiere is not dead either.
I'm telling you, the worst stabbing record of all time.
Do you think it's that or are these people superhuman now? The people that are getting, like, okay, yeah.
Do you think they got some of that super fucking juice from Jamie Lee Curtis in that Halloween movie?
Maybe.
That let her get out of the fucking hospital bed in like 20 minutes after getting her fucking ribs broken?
Yeah, because I mean... if you stab someone, like, not great, you know? I mean, a stab and rip in the stomach is still a stab and rip in the stomach.
I'm pretty sure they, like, when Peyton Panettiere got stabbed, they pulled the knife out of her stab wound
to stab
somebody else.
They joked about it.
That's instant death. You leave it in because it, like, plugs up all the stab holes. You're supposed to leave the knife inside.
Maybe it stabbed her in the exact same spot, and somehow it just has like this. This is where your little
scar tissue.
your little like ghost things come into it.
Well, let's just keep this checklist going because even earlier in this scene, when we're kicking it off, the fucking Jenna Ortega gets stabbed directly in the back, and she runs perfectly the whole time. The dude that she's into gets double stabbed by two Ghostface like 30 times.
Yeah.
And guess what? We got another one back here. Did you wheel him out alive?
Making googly eyes at Jenna Ortega.
Yes. What the fuck is going on here?
This guy just got stabbed so many times and is out here making out on his way to the ambulance.
Well, that was the first comment when they run over to him. How are you alive? How is anybody alive?
Core four. And in the end, all the ghost faces die. Jenna Ortega and all the core four and everybody that got stabbed for the most part fucking lives. And the Sam Carpenter finds her true love of wanting to be a serial killer potentially in the next movie.
Yeah, I'm really curious. It seems like it's the easy route to go. But I mean, if Matthew Lillard comes back, it's kind of like the perfect like setup. They could just kind of, we could do the double Ghostface thing again, but better this time.
So do you think she's going to be a Ghostface? Like, but I don't see her like killing random people. I think she's going to go after, oh, that's why Matthew Lillard's going to be in it. He is alive and she's going to go after him and kill him. Because okay. She's going to go after certain people. She's not going to kill just random people.
Okay. Can we do a total tonal shift for the last Scream movie?
Okay.
Matthew Lillard's been on the lam as like a fucking like maniac fucking in the woods drifter for the past 30 years, just traveling around the fucking world.
Like he's just like scavenging around?
He's just scavenging around and murdering the fuck out of people. And now Billy Loomis's daughter has to like vigilante to stop him after she finds out about his existence because her father is the one who created this monster.
So now it's just like a pretty much a full-on hunt.
So instead of the ghost face hunting the survivor, you're flipping it. The survivor needs to hunt down the ghost face and end the cycle.
I could see them kind of going that route.
Yeah, because I mean, obviously she's morally conflicted. It's not like she wants to just kill anybody, but she definitely wants to kill some people.
But what do you do if you're just naturally good at killing because of your family heritage?
Well, you fucking wipe that blade off and you get to kill him.
Oh, the double synchronized white blade was fucking hot.
Oh, that was cool.
Probably visually the best scene of this movie. I want a whole room of Ghostface doing that at the same time. It's so satisfying.
All right, but that was Scream 6.
Yeah.
Okay, you could do it six times.
I don't got that in me. I'd rather not.
Just a quick side note, since we're getting to the end here. Really no reason to see it in 3D, right? You guys agree?
No, not at all. Not at all.
This had all the potential in the world. And maybe like two, three scenes felt like, oh, wow, 3D.
I was really hoping we were going to get stabbed by Ghostface seeing it in 3D, but that never happened.
Honestly, the title card that I wanted, I got it, but that might have been the best 3D scene.
I definitely want to see a good 3D horror movie that's just, like, built for it. With
like,
that
made
purpose.
For 3D?
Like,
Yeah.
Something's, like, you know.
I got it. Psh, psh. That was blood. Well, the people couldn't see what I was doing. The noises have to make sense.
All right, but that is going to do it for this week. That was Scream 6. We're going to take a week off, and then we're going to be into our favorite time of the fucking year. What time is that, Snort John?
4:20.
That's right. The month of April is coming up, so we got some fun stoner movies lined up for you guys for that one. So if you want to follow along with us and watch some fucking stoner movies for 4:20,
make sure to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at TH Cinema Podcast. Make sure to go like, subscribe, bell, all of the things everywhere you can listen to us at, which is everywhere.
And that's going to do it for this week. So if you see three ghost faces
walking into a bank to apply for a loan and then down to the building permits department to talk about some renovation permits for their new theater, but they're all really, really high. Come over and say hi. That might just be us. Okay, bye.
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 Stab, stab, stab.
Oh gosh. Okay. What else do we got a ghost face on?
I don't know. What's your time at? It's 3:03 right now.
3:03.
Wow. It's actually the wow time, right?
Wow.
Wow. That was exciting.
That's a first. That's a podcast first. Yeah.
All right, and that's going to do it for this week. That, oh.
Yeah, yeah, let the demons out.
Demons. Just stabbed in the mouth, too.
Stab. Oh. Ooh. Can we talk about real quick? Okay, remember when Jenna Ortega stabbed that guy in the mouth?
That's what I was saying. That was like
when she dropped down from the balcony, like fucking
Wolverine. Fuck.
She's like, give me that knife. I don't give a fuck.
She was so badass in this movie.
Okay, I'm wrapping the episode.
That's fine. I just wanted to say that real quick.
Okay, I'll put it at the end.
Thanks.